If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out Pear.com today to learn more. That's P-A-I-R.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, welcome back to Mind Pump. This is the smartest fitness show on iTunes. I just totally
super
lied.
Fucking yeah, smart.
Totally lied.
Big time lie. All right, so this is Sal DiStefano talking. I'm here with my co-host, Adam Schaefer.
What?
And Justin Andrews.
I'm bringing it back.
You know what? You guys remember that shit?
You know what's funny? The listeners don't know. We rehearsed that several times. And it sounds so much worse now. It was really good the last time we did it.
That's because we didn't rehearse.
Now this. This is the first time they heard it, so now we sound it like, was money.
We sound like idiots. All right, so let's do a little Q&A.
All right.
You know, we answer some people's questions because people, they seem to enjoy that when we answer people's questions. So
enjoy people asking us questions.
I love it. Listen, if you guys have questions about fitness, or anything. I don't give a shit. And any questions?
Well, let's be honest.
Dude,
this was
making this interactive.
This part, I feel like we got here a lot faster than what we thought because we thought we'd only have like two or three people listen to us for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this is really why I feel like we started this thing. I mean, I feel like a good portion of this was to, you know, the fact that we've all been doing this for, you know, combined 45 years plus in the fitness industry is, you know, I want to be able to answer
combined
questions.
We're like one old man.
45 is
Voltron.
So yeah, Doug, just offended sorry. Doug. Way to go, dude.
Sorry, Doug.
Yeah, I think either A, we have a lot of listeners now, or that my mom, your aunt, and your sister are all downloading, you know, 3,000 episodes a day or something like that. So
yeah,
she's online a lot.
Yeah, I think that might be what's happening. Listen, share this episode with your friends, please, or this the show with your friends.
So point being is like, this was all about eventually was Q&As. I'm glad we're doing this. I hope we get more and more of it because this is the idea right here. So
love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. And you can ask the questions on either our Facebook page, which is Mind Pump, or you can go on Instagram, which is at Mind Pump.
Yeah.
And there you go. All right. So the first question, a gentleman had asked, and I can't find who asked this question, so I apologize. I don't remember what your name was, but it was a good one. We didn't get a chance to go over it last time. And his question was about pro-hormones. Okay. He wanted to know what we thought about pro-hormones. So I think before we answer that question, for the listeners who are unaware of what we're talking about, I think we should give them a little bit of, you know, should kind of educate them a little bit in terms of what he probably means when he says pro-hormones. So pro-hormones first kind of hit the scene, gosh, like in the early 2000s, late 90s, right? When they had like the androstenedione and do you guys remember that? Andro 6 by EAS and all that stuff?
Uh-huh.
And Mark McGuire, remember he got caught taking the androstenedione, and that's why he says he got so big, because he said it was that and not the steroids.
Right.
Yeah.
81, Androstene.
Yeah, Androstene, all those things.
The chewable ones.
Yeah,
yeah, the chewable.
I think, come on, how many of you tried? I think I must have tried at least every brand that came out.
Oh, over the counter, yeah.
I have tried every single one, but the last time I've used any type of pro-hormone or hormone over the counter was probably about 10 years ago, and that's because I educated myself on them, which I want to get into a little bit.
Well, yeah. Okay. I was going to say, one of the things I don't know probably as much as you do, but one of the things I do know about these was what a lot of people don't understand is how the supplement and how they get regulated, and there's really not a lot of regulation for supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could take a compound and you just slightly change it a tiny bit, you know, by one molecule or whatever, you can name it something else and it'd be pretty damn close to the real deal, which is kind of the pro-hormone game in the from a business standpoint and selling and making money. Is a lot of these guys, what they do is they make it damn near as anabolic as possible, that's not, because the way it works, there's a drug list, and all these drugs that are up on this list, they have all the compounds that it says, right. Okay, these are all illegal. Well, if you just slightly change,
it's a game.
Yeah, then you, then you run at it for as long as you can. And when people, when word of mouth gets out that, hey, this new Androstenedione 1 is putting literally putting size on this guy, like if he was taking testosterone or something, then everybody runs and, of course, gets it.
Well, here's how it started. It's pro-hormone literally means a precursor to some of the main hormones. So like a precursor to testosterone or a precursor to hormones that turn into testosterone. It started with DHEA, went to androstenedione, went to androstenediol. Those are all hormones that by themselves aren't really anabolic, but they get converted to hormones that can be anabolic. And so, for example, androstenedione, I believe, is like two steps away from testosterone. So your body has to convert it to testosterone. On the flip side, it can also convert it to things like estrogen, and or it will only convert so much of it. So you can take a bunch of it and you're not going to get much out of it. So the original pro hormones weren't really effective. They didn't really do much. You'd actually get much better results from taking creatine. Mm-hmm. But then these fuckers got smart, like you said. Now, you talked about regulation. I do not support regulation. I'm a pretty anti-regulation anything. I believe the free market regulates well enough. And I'm always on the side of freedom. So even if that means some people are going to make stupid decisions, fine, because I always support free choice. Because
stupid people make stupid decisions anyways.
No helmet laws, right?
Right. Helmet laws? Yes. No, I think helmet laws are stupid because you're only hurting yourself. So if you want to be an idiot. Now, if you get in an accident and break your head and then you sue other people for that, then that's what gets on my nerves.
We're talking about litigation.
Yeah. So here's what they did. So this is why I stopped fiddling with these things. Now, first of all, pro hormones are one thing, but they took it a step farther. And the stuff you could buy eventually, and that you can actually buy right now online, they're not pro hormones. They're steroids.
Yeah.
They are designer steroids. They are anabolic. They are active all by themselves.
Oh, I missed that wagon.
They do not need to be converted to anything. And the way a lot of these supplement companies discovered these molecules, first and foremost, most of these supplement companies are these shoddy, shitty, you know, not worth very much money companies. And so you think, how can they afford to have scientists design these new designer steroids? They didn't. They didn't design anything. What they did is they went through old chemistry books or old pharmaceutical company rejects. So pharmaceutical companies submitted, you know, potential new androgens or steroids to be approved by the FDA for use by people. The FDA went over these things and discovered too many side effects, too harsh, not good on the liver, not good. So they didn't get approval. However, these chemicals can be found. You can find these discarded chemicals. These supplement companies said, oh shit, there's a loophole. They're not illegal. Let's use these and call it, you know, Superdrol. That was one of them. That was a big one. Superdrol was a big one. Halidrol was another one. Then it, you know, methyl one, whatever. And the funny thing, and I hate to say this, most of these designer steroids, first of all, are yes, they are extremely effective, but they're also more dangerous than the black market steroids.
You may as well do the real thing, dude.
You're better off doing the real
thing. There's a lot more material out there, too, on like any sort of adverse effects that you might get from it, because there's not a lot of stuff out there on some of these things.
First of all,
you're taking it in pill form, right? So you're going to have to process it through the liver.
Anabolic steroids are far safer when they're injected because they don't get processed through the liver the same way. And so most of these oral designer, quote-unquote, pro-hormones, but in reality, they're steroids, are they're called 17 methylated chemicals. And you have to do that to these chemicals because it has to survive going through the liver so that it can get to your bloodstream. And this is very harsh on the liver. So the adverse effects the really dangerous adverse effects that have ever been found with anabolic steroids, and I'm going to scare everybody here, but this is true, used normally and by prescription, were only ever found by oral 17 or other type of methylated steroids, which over time can cause things like liver failure and even cancers of the liver. Mm-hmm. So to the listeners, if you're thinking about using some of these things, don't. And if you still want to use steroids really bad, you're better off using the black market stuff. I don't recommend doing that either, But the truth be told, those designer ones are, and you can buy them on Amazon. I could go on Amazon right now or
yeah, you know, keep this websites. Shit real, bro. We've been saying since day one. Yeah. This is raw fitness truth. It's real. I mean, I'm not going to tell anyone to go do something like that. Mm-hmm. But hey, if you're fucking contemplating going out and doing that, you're better off doing anabolics.
You are.
Real pharmaceutical anabolics, injectable. That's 10 times better for your system than taking something like that. You know, I have a personal horror story from that shit. That's why I feel so passionate about it. When I was, God, it was 24 or 5, whenever, do you remember when Tren hit the market?
Oh, yeah, Trenbolone or yes, whatever. Yeah. No. Trenbolone's a real, that's a black market stuff, but it was Tren.
No. They called it Tren something. Like yeah, Tren 3 or Tren X.
I don't remember. But it wasn't the black market steroid. It was the over-the-counter variety, a version of it.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
And my dumbass took two back-to-back bottles of it without taking any sort of anti-estrogen or anything like that. Because in the back of my head, I have to be honest, you know, even as a trainer, I didn't believe that. And this is where
because it was over the counter.
Yeah. And exactly. I'm thinking, okay, mm-hmm. So I got gynecomastia from it. So, and it blows my mind because.
Explain what that gynecomastia, explain what
so
that is.
It's basically your body starts to produce so much estrogen, you know, that you start to get what the layman's term is bitch tits, or you start to get this buildup of like almost feels like scar tissue built up behind the nipple.
Female breast, it's breast tissue.
It's breast tissue that's starting to ball up there. And it's.
Which is not, you don't want that unless you're going to prison and you want a good safeguard.
Like, you know, you're into that thing.
Yeah, so I think
you lose a bet, you gotta get some tits.
Just to prove to you how crazy strong and real those things are, something like that to actually elevate my testosterone levels so much that my estrogen shot up too. I mean, you know for sure. Or like you said earlier, I don't know if something inside of there was getting converted over into estrogen mm-hmm. anyways, you know, you're not familiar with that, but that just goes to show how real that shit is, you know, so.
Well, I remember when the first one was either Superdrol or it was one testosterone. One was called one testosterone. And they were legal again. They're gray market. I had no idea that these things were actual steroids. I thought they were pro hormones. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is fine. This is, by the way, one of the reasons why I never claimed to be lifetime natural. I'm natural. I'm definitely natural. I haven't touched any of these things for, like I said, 10 years. But back then when I used them, it blew my mind. I think it was one test and I gained must have been like 15 pounds. Like 45 days. I got super, I was tripping out. I was like, this is insane. And then you go off of them and you lose everything just as fast as you gained it.
Well, you mentioned androstenedione like a while back.
Yeah.
And so is that the one that was like chewable? Because
there was a chewable one.
I took one.
Made it. Remember Pinnacle?
Pinnacle. Okay. Because honestly, like you, I'm clean. I was playing sports, everything, you know. But in the off season, one time we all saw that it was an over the counter one. And mm-hmm. we're like, oh, well, let's just mess with this and see if it works. And, you know, nothing from it.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, I'm sure it screwed me up somehow, but
I didn't get shit from that either. Nothing. I took that for a while.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Creatine, though.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, that was it.
Though. Yeah. So that's the bottom line with the designer stuff over the counter. Just because it's over the counter doesn't mean it's safe. It's actually probably worse for you than the black market stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would say stay away from it. Whatever you gain on those things, you're going to lose. I want to touch on this post-cycle therapy. So post-cycle therapy is what bodybuilders and athletes will do after going off of a cycle of anabolic steroids. And the goal of post-cycle therapy is to boost the natural testosterone back up to normal and try to keep or hold on to as much of the gains that you made. Okay. There's nothing really that's over-the-counter that is going to do anything in terms of contributing to post-cycle therapy. There's nothing over-the-counter you're going to take that's going to really work. In that sense, so when you take everything over the counter, whatever you gain from these designer steroids, they're going to go really fucking fast. And let me tell you something, that's depressing.
Yeah.
That sucks when you go to the gym and you just get weaker and weaker and weaker and you lose your motivation and you're depressed.
Yeah, what's the point?
And I've heard, and look, you can get erectile dysfunction from some of these things because your testosterone levels are shot. Anytime you take exogenous testosterone or derivatives like some of these designer steroids, your body shuts down its own testosterone. So you'll get things like testicular shrinkage and, I mean, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. I don't think it's worth it. And you know, you're getting paid millions of dollars to play a professional sport. You got a doctor giving you the real deal. I mean, whatever. But if you're some dude that likes to work out on your own and, you know, I mean, I guess it's your body. Do what you want. But for me, it's kind of idiotic, you know, if you want to know the truth. So, all right. So, I don't know if you guys have anything else you want to say on that.
No, next question.
Yeah. So the next question, Justin, we were talking about this a little bit before we started.
Uh-huh.
You said you had a client that asked, that brought up stress.
Yeah.
And so, how that affects the body. And
I mean, so we live in the Silicon Valley. This is like something I come across almost with every single one of my clients. And stress is very much a part of everybody's everyday lifestyle here. And it's really the race. Like there's this push to produce, and there's this sort of demand that is unreasonable, and it goes through the weekend. It's almost like a 7-day work week, and it's also irregular hours, and so there's lack of sleep. There's, if you think about like the stress, how it accumulates, it keeps accumulating, and you don't, if you don't take care of it, if you don't address it, if you're not planning for ways to approach, you know, your levels of stress, then it's just going to consume you. And it affects your body. It affects, you know, your energy. It affects your well-being. And so this is a real issue. And so, you know, there's a lot of companies now that are understanding that, okay, this, my employees are only going to produce X amount. You know, what everybody's looking for the most efficient way to, you know, get the most out of their employees, get the most out of their managers, and people that are, you know, overseeing everything. And so anyway, this is a big issue as far as like, okay, well, what steps should we take while still producing all these crazy numbers and getting on track as far as the race goes?
It's so true. It's like, this is like stress land. I don't know. Do you guys know do you guys know anybody around here that works 40 hours a week?
No, 40 is like a half week for somebody. You know,
I don't know anybody.
Yeah, no.
All my clients work like crazy.
Trades or, well, those, yeah, those that are listening, the Silicon Valley is just, I mean, it's pretty damn expensive to
live. Oh, this is the land of Apple and Google and, you know, the biggest tech companies and these guys.
Yeah, we're totally in a bubble.
Yeah, no. I remember when as a kid, I'm the oldest of five. Now, mind you, I grew up pretty poor and stuff like that. But I remember thinking to myself, like, when I understood money and what's a lot or not a lot of money or what that to make, I always told myself, like, well, you know, I saw what my family survived off of with five children. I mean, if I made 40, 50 grand a year, I'm going to be freaking super wealthy. I remember the first year that I made that, you know, when I first started getting into fitness, and I thought, why am I broke still?
Oh, right? It's so crazy around here.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Just, you know, it's crazy.
It is. Well, with stress, you have, you know, the human body evolved to have stress. Stress is definitely a natural part of life. However, the type of stress that humans evolved having is not what we experience today. So what we have now are these constant low to moderate levels of stress all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies evolved to experience these short bursts of extreme stress, like, oh, fuck, a lion.
Yeah, and then exactly. You're safe. Survival mechanism.
Yeah, and then you're safe, and I can breathe now.
Yeah.
Instead of this kind of medium level of all the time stress. And so what happens when you're in this stress situation, your body, it goes into this fight or flight, you know, kind of the semi fight or flight stage, otherwise known as a sympathetic response in the body.
Here comes the cortisol.
So you get cortisol, you breathe, you breathe very shallow, you don't get full diaphragmatic breath. Your body is, you'll notice things like clammy hands, lack of sleep. Does it affect exercise performance? Does it affect muscle and fat loss? Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. It affects the way you eat, and definitely exercise performance and
sleep.
And it all has to do with your central nervous system. Let me give you an example. I could take the most highly trained Olympic athlete, okay, getting ready for a competition. He or she is totally peaked, ready to do their competition. 5 minutes before the competition, they get a phone call that their mother just passed away. How much do you think that would affect their performance?
Oh, like 100%.
Huge, right? So it's definitely has nothing. It really doesn't have much to do with your muscle. It's a central nervous system reaction that stress has, or a response that stress has on the body,
mm-hmm.
which eventually turns into loss of muscle and increased body fat. So what are some ways that you got, because you guys are both, I mean, I think that I would consider the three of us type A. We're all pretty go. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you guys do for stress? How do you guys handle?
Well, I think one of the things that, to keep it real simple on how we think of it, or I think of it at least, is it's working out is stress on the body. So it's just like you said before, it's a short burst though,
mm-hmm.
that gives us this benefit. So imagine if stress is just like, you know, you're stressing the body, right? If you're feeling that way and you're doing that to yourself for long periods, hours, days, weeks strung together because of your high stressful job, and every day
you never recover.
You never recover. You never get to, and you're just beating the body up. So the same, and it just like overtraining, there's your overtraining on your body and just a different mentality.
It's mentality. Yeah. It's your mental state that you're never letting fully recover, and you're overstimulating. So really for me, it's a overstimulation. And it's an external like sort of demand that you're putting on yourself, but also from, you know, from work, from all these other different sources that are contributing to this. And if you're not addressing it, the problem is not going to get resolved, right? So for me to address it, it has to take action. So I either have to plan that day out for the following day. I'm going to just address my stress levels, and I'm going to attack this either with blocking people out. You know, I'm going to, you know, focus on flexibility, or, you know, I'm going to be mindful of just trying to eliminate a lot of like distractions in my day, or, you know, things like that. People attribute it to like meditation. Like they'll go to the extreme level of like, you've heard of the float tank.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this is something I kind of brought up with some of my clients.
These are the sensory deprivation. Yeah.
And the only reason why I think that, you know, it may be an extreme measure, but I think it makes perfect sense for people here in the Valley that have already an extreme level of stress. Mm-hmm. You need to address it, you know, almost on that same level, that, you know, it's that big of a problem. So just totally eliminating all stimulus is a great tool to have.
Well, one thing that I once interesting, actually, there's a few studies on this now that I've read. They compared the effects on people if they bought things with money or if they paid for experiences. So in other words, let's say you save up, you know, $1,000. What's a better use of that money? To buy something with it, like a new computer or, you know, some rims or whatever? Or is it better to go on a vacation?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the studies show conclusively that experiences are a far better use of your money. And so something that I'm not a big things person. Mm. Like, I don't necessarily buy things. I could really care less about them. But I do like experiences. I do like, you know, I'll spend money on going somewhere with my family or going somewhere with my friends, or taking a class. And I recommend that. I think, and even if you don't have much money, go camping, do a day away. You know, if you have Saturday off, go somewhere where there's no distractions, like you said, and you can kind of relax. That does a lot, man. That really does a lot for the stress.
Oh, I mean, you guys know that. And I know you're glaring at me over here while you're talking about things.
Why? Because you own a lot of shoes?
Because I like sparkly things. I like.
Whoa.
He wasn't even bringing that up. Wait, Adam has this like sparkly thing. Like, sparkly about me right now?
Did he just say sparkly?
Everything,
sparkly,
bro.
Sparkly what? He's just a sparkly being. Everything about him.
His sparkly taint, sparkly watches, sparkly everything. No, on the real though, I mean, you guys know that I just got back from Mexico, and you know, so funny you say what we're talking about this topic right now is I remember telling Katrina to book the trip, right? And so I was like, book this trip, whatever the date was, we just got back, right?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, wow, you got this going on, you got that going on. I'm like, we always got shit going on. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
When does that ever stop?
Oh, like all of us,
does she keep track of all the planning and stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's my wife, yeah.
In charge of
the calendar.
I have no idea. And that's why, too, I have to say, like, if you don't, when it comes closer that week, if I said, like, oh, let's just go somewhere, I can't do that. I need to financially commit. Like, I need to book the room, book the flights, get it all done, because I know when the week before comes, just like this week came up, I'm like, oh shit, we need to record, we need to do this, we need to do that, and I'm like, this is not a good weekend for me to get out. But then when I get out and I shut everything down, you know, I turn down my electronics, which reminds me of the episode we talked about with the electronics and stuff like that. This is one of the things that I do, not because it's a bad thing, but it's because it's tied
to turn it off.
Well, it's tied to my work. So, email alerts and text messages and social media shit is going
on. I don't like it because then you don't respond to my text. I'm like, good morning, Adam. Nothing. Hey, what are you thinking right now? Nothing. You know? So I'm like, does he still like me?
That's how sickly connected we all are now, right?
Are we still friends?
Is that joke not funny? Yeah.
I was only gone for like 4 or 5 days. This guy having a heart attack over here. So yeah, but I feel
you got yourself in a relationship with two other ones.
So
if this doesn't work, we could totally film that and make a shitload of money.
Oh yeah, good.
What the fuck?
What?
All right, go.
I book. I book a trip like that, that's a must for me. I make sure that I get out of town too. It can't be like just
say no.
It's got to be far away, right? And then on top of that, I'm deep tissue massage guy, so I gotta get a massage like once a week. Where yes. I get
massage because is amazing. Yeah. Like,
do you get the full release?
Do yourself a favor and go do it.
Yeah, that I mean a deep tissue massage.
Yeah,
it's worth it. Talk about like opening up, releasing stress, and it's crazy because I mean I get them so regularly and often that you can tell when I've had stressful weeks. My body, your body releases
your girl,
that.
Your yeah. girl's a masseuse. I was going to ask you to like massage along those
therapist.
Lines.
You never want to call a masseuse.
No, massage yeah. therapist.
Masseuse are the girls. Masseuse are the ones the girls have the happy ending after.
Sorry, I wasn't aware of these yeah, terms.
I do it all the time. Oops. Still, bro, and I still get punked all the time.
Oh so snap!
Yeah,
my bad.
If I
my
didn't, bad, if I didn't save you therapist. Right there, then I would get in trouble.
Okay,
right now.
Okay, okay. Anyway, yeah, no, because of. As far as like deep tissue work, like how often do you think, what's the maximal amount of deep tissue work you would say somebody should, you know, be a part of per week?
Oh, if you could get an hour to 2 hours of deep tissue per week, yeah. I would at least get that.
Yeah. More than that. You
no, but I mean up. Like how, like where would you cap it at?
Oh, depends on the person, right? That's another yeah. thing.
Well, okay, that's what I was thinking. I'm just
because deep tissue can break. I mean, that can. That's, I mean, it can
it's
sore.
Pretty invasive. Yeah.
Well, and here's okay. And that goes, but that's like good personal trainer, bad person. You can find a good massage therapist who knows how to. You know, if you're still sore
right.
and from a deep tissue from that, she's gonna lay off.
Great
that.
Point.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't want to go
point.
Too frequently. Exactly. Is what
but
I
if you if
recommended.
You, yeah, it has everything to do with you, how you feel, and correlation with your
don't
your,
go too deep.
Your massage therapist knowing your body and knowing where you need what. You know, and like I mean, that's my girl. She can be massaging me and just know where all the stress is in my body and be able to find points. It's crazy.
Where is it?
The trigger points. So
where's the stress?
I can show you.
Right? No. At least, I'm good.
At least it's clean.
It's clean. All right, we better move on to the next question. Right, so, next question, please.
Next question. So we had a listener ask about nutrient timing. So basically, the pre and post workout window where you're, you know, where they talk about taking a protein shake or eating carbohydrates. Yeah. So, okay. So studies will show conclusively that consuming now, if you're looking for exercise performance, there's a difference here between exercise performance and a goal like fat loss. Okay.
Right.
So if you're looking for exercise performance, then some carbohydrates before your workout,
they're like, going to benefit your workout session.
They're going to benefit your workouts.
Even the day before loading.
Well, definitely that. But it definitely, if you want better performance, about an hour to 30 minutes before, you want to have some carbohydrates. Maybe some carbohydrates during your workout in liquid form. This is for your endurance athletes. And then post workout, some carbohydrates and protein. The theory behind it is it replenishes glycogen stores in muscle and it shuttles amino acids, which are the proteins, to muscle to help them recover. The science behind that goes down to something that's activated within muscle called GLUT4, or otherwise known as the glucose transporter 4 protein within muscle. And when this thing is activated, and they call it a window of opportunity because apparently
that protein synthesis that they always, you know, recommend, like this is your window.
Yes. And it's like an hour.
The anabolic window.
The anabolic window.
I get this question a lot.
Yeah. And so what glucose transporter 4 does is it moves to the surface of the muscle cell and it increases its permeability. And basically it's trying to suck in glycogen, sugars from the bloodstream and amino acids from the bloodstream to repair and build. Now, if you don't consume anything post-workout, this will still happen. However, there's this super compensation effect that happens post-workout, where if you have a lot of this stuff in your bloodstream afterwards, your muscles will actually utilize more than they normally would. And so that's why they call it the anabolic window.
Hmm.
And so they've done studies where they show people will take 50 grams of protein at breakfast or lunch or dinner versus people who take 50 grams of protein right post-workout. And the post-workout group, and by the way, I'm using 50 grams. That's an arbitrary number. It's probably less than that.
Right.
They gain more muscle and lose more body fat. So that's one of the more established, nutritional sciences is nutrient timing. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, I would recommend that. Now, what about it getting leaner?
So here's my 2 cents on it.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's there. I'm actually somebody who tries my best to actually do this. You know, I try and feed my body about an hour and a half to 2 hours before I get into a workout. As soon as I hit my workout, if I'm gaining, I might have some sort of sugar during my workout to keep my glycogen levels up. keep the insulin going. And then when I get out of my workout, that 30-minute window, I'm trying to get a balance. And typically I do one of your shakes, you know, that I get immediately afterwards. Now, that being said, if I miss it or it doesn't happen, I really don't give a shit. And the reason why I don't give a shit.
Gangster, that's what.
Well, no, let's break it down a little bit. We've talked a little bit before about in reality, how much muscle do we build in a year, broken down by how much muscle do we build in a month, broken down by a week, by a day. So we're talking about something, and nothing,
it's pretty minuscule as far as like
nothing is going to help you build muscle or burn fat at a faster, more efficient rate than hitting your macronutrient targets on a consistent basis. Right. Now, I don't give a shit if it's all in one meal like Sal, or it's spread out over 15 meals like me,
right,
or you're fasting between, whatever it is.
Your macronutrients, you're not talking about Pop-Tarts. Yeah. All right? Let's be fucking clear.
Yeah. Let's not do the whole
No, when I say macronutrients, I mean what your body needs protein-wise, carbohydrates, right, and fats, and you consistently getting what it needs is going to build more muscle at a faster rate than any timing on a window. Now, that being said, does it help? Absolutely, it helps. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's going to give you a little bit of edge, it's just one more thing. But I mean, you're splitting hairs if you are driving fast to get home to get to your 30-minute window, or you're carrying.
You might as well also worry about the thermodynamic effect of food.
Exactly.
This is what I've noticed training clients for as long as I have, and I'm sure you guys have done this as well. I don't really recommend a post-workout shake to most of my clients, only because it ends up being extra calories.
Mm.
And like you said, it's splitting hairs. Here's where I have found the post-workout, nutrient timing, we'll call it. Here's where I found that to make the biggest difference with hard training athletes. Because then you're talking about, when you're training your ass off, you're dancing that fine line between overtraining and training properly. And those branching amino acids, that glutamine, that post-workout carbohydrate, That could push you over the edge to keep you away from overtraining. So when I, for example, the hardest I've ever trained in my entire life was when I would train for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournaments, because I would do 2.5 hours of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu 4 or 5 days a week plus weights, this and that. That nutrient timing kept me from overtraining, and when I missed it, I would notice my body would start to burn out.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm training less intensely, does it make a huge difference? Maybe not really. For the average person, is it going to make a huge difference? Probably not.
I think
not.
That's the biggest distinction, really. Yeah. I mean, to be honest. I'm right there with you. When I was playing football and I was actually working out, I was doing the morning workouts. We were doing
double days.
We were doing, and then I was working out late at night. I was playing basketball. It's like, I had to keep up this regimen of constant nutrients, and I had to make sure it was on point. Otherwise, you felt that, and it was an immediate drop. Otherwise, like you said, it's pretty minuscule.
It's funny though; supplement companies will make you believe that it's like if you miss that protein shake after you just wasted your whole workout.
And it's so my whole thing when I tell people about all fucking supplements. Okay, it's the difference between you putting 87 octane and fucking 90 octane in your car. Okay, if you're gonna drag race me 1 week with 87 octane and then drag race me the next week in 90 octane, you're not gonna fucking smoke me the next week because you have 90 octane in there. The difference between the two of them and the way the body burns and utilizes it is so minuscule, you ain't gonna see it. The way you shift gears is 10 times more important. The way you rest, we talked about rest earlier on Q&A, like the way you let your body rest, you'll see way more difference in your body composition by getting adequate rest and taking care of your body than you ever will by making sure you hit that 30-minute window.
Well, those are the old-timies bodybuilders, we'll say the 70s, 60s, 70s, Arnold and those guys, they didn't take a protein shake post-workout. They would go to the firehouse coffee shop or whatever next door to
eat like steaks and eggs.
Yeah,
and
they'd have like a tuna omelet or eight. So they would just eat food afterwards. They didn't really have shakes. And obviously Arnold got pretty fucking awesome, massive looking. Take away the steroids, he's still pretty awesome looking. So
there's something to be said too about stuff that we don't know. And I know you love talking about pushing the science on what's new and we're still learning. Like, I mean, I don't know for sure, if you were to compare, 40 grams of whey protein versus 40 grams coming from a steak, but there's no doubt I can see the difference when I'm on 100% natural food versus using supplementation
there's a different structure there molecularly.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
I mean, we know enough science to know that there's a difference.
Yeah. You got powder form versus something that's
structurally. to play devil's advocate, what they'll say is that the protein powders are quick digesting, quick assimilating, and this is why you want those right post-workout.
But how does that help your intestine, you know, your internal health? Like, you
know, I don't know. The reason why I do protein powder post-workout is because it's convenient. It's easy for me to just pour my powder in my cup and rather than pull out my steak and eat it at you know. Right
yeah,
there
I don't know how much science. I just think like the slower you process food, I just feel like your body has that chance to utilize those nutrients. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, I mean that's totally
Like I said, I don't have anything other than like I've been so detailed before on my diet because of competing and stuff like that that I've ran a diet where I've allowed protein bars and shakes, and then I've done one and purposely taken all of that out.
And you notice a big difference.
Oh, yeah. I can aesthetically see a difference. Okay, once again, we're splitting hairs. It's not such a big difference that you would be like, oh, my God. He was
well, for someone like you on stage.
Exactly. Someone like me who's picking apart every bit of my physique and looking at every little flaw.
When
you
see changes like almost immediately because you're already at that level, right? So a lot of people don't get to that level where they can experiment like that and actually see it right away.
I mean, even myself, I could never until I got to this point. I mean, even before as intelligent and experienced trainers as we are, I've never taken my body to this limit to where I could put something in it and like feel the difference immediately. I mean, I've gotten to a point where I've been in deficits for so long, so hard that, you know, instantly you give a surge that it hadn't seen in 2 months or whatever like that, you know, whoa, you can
really, it's amazing. That's why you guys are backstage eating a bunch of sugar and shit. It makes your veins pop out and, you know, that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what some of these knuckleheads do. I'm not that one.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.